Pastor Greg's message today from Christ Lutheran in Cape Canaveral is titled, Is God Truly Good?
Grace to you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'd like to start with a scripture. This is Psalm 34, verse 8. Let's start there with the Word of God. Verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who takes refuge in him. Do you guys taste and see that the Lord is good? Do you believe in the goodness of God, that he is 100% good, and he's good all the time, in every instance, forever? He is 100% perfectly pure good. Do you believe that? You know, that's what we believe as Christians, and that's the truth of the scriptures. And what it just says to us right here is taste and see it. And happy is the man who takes refuge in him. So God wants us super confident in this because it's the truth. At the same time, sometimes as Christians, to our shame, we're a little shaky on that at times. At least some people are. And so today I'd like to look with you at the goodness of our God, the pureness of our great Creator and our Savior, so that we can take refreshment and be reestablished in that today. So that when you walk in your life as Christians, you can be totally confident, no matter what happens to you, good or bad, that the goodness of the Lord is yours through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So let's take a look at the goodness of God and what can we say of that. Well, the first thing I would like to say about it is that the world that we're living in does not believe in the goodness of God. Isn't that true? They do not accept that God is good, otherwise they'd come to him. Rather, on the contrary, the world that we're living in, unbelievers, etc., believe that God is even bad. They say the opposite of it. They say he is evil. Why does the world say that God is evil? I watched an interview recently on YouTube between a Christian pastor and an atheist. The atheist was refusing to come to God or to Jesus because he says God is bad. He's not good. Why? Number one, he says, because God allows evil in the world. If God were good, he wouldn't allow evil to exist in the world. Therefore, I refuse to come to him. Christian pastor tries to preach to him. This guy is set in his ways. He says, God is also bad because he allows suffering in the world. If God were good, he wouldn't allow pain, sickness, death, violence, things like that in the world. I refuse to come to him. And also, especially, he highlights, and they love to highlight, that, you know, the God of the Bible, they say, is just too wrathful to be good. Because he comes in and he wipes out an entire city, or the land of Canaan, or in the days of the flood, or on the last day, the world. Certainly, God can't be good, and I refuse to come to such a God. And this is number four, the really big one that he highlighted. Was because God sends people to hell. And he says, a good God would never send anybody to hell. Of course, what do they mean when they say that? They think God is evil and themselves good, right? So the Christian pastor tries to tell this guy and show him by the law that he's not good, but he wasn't having any. He's like, sure, I lie a little. I've stolen things. I don't acknowledge God. I never give him thanks, but surely that doesn't warrant living, being forever condemned in hell. And so I refuse to believe in him. God is bad and I am good. Isn't that the height of blasphemy? To say God is bad and he is good? But so he says, and he doesn't think that's a crime. And then that quintessential hater of God, that cream of the atheist crop, pseudoscientist Richard Dawkins from England. You ever see this guy? He wrote a book called The God Delusion. And he said, the God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, petty, unjust, unforgiving, control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. And then he claims to be good in saying such a thing. Wow. That's why I call him a pseudo-scientist, because he's obviously not a scientist. Listen to his emotions. Really, what he is a hater of God, pretending to be a scientist, and really all he does is rant and rail against the Creator whom he hates. And he calls God evil. So also a majority of the people in the world that are all around us. Now, what's God say to that when the world would call him evil, or Israel tried to do so in the Old Testament? He says in the book of Isaiah, you turn things upside down. In other words, it's all backwards. Look over here at Ezekiel chapter 18. God says to Israel, you say the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Right? In other words, God says in the verses after, you know, if a man commits iniquity, shouldn't he die for a sin? But if he turns from it, I'll forgive him and I'll restore him. And he says again, yet the house of Israel says the Lord's way is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? So what is it with the world? Flips everything upside down, right? They think that God is bad and they are good. But in truth, they are bad and God is good. His ways are just all the time. And what's the real root of that, do you think? Of course, the real root of all these things. It's the devil. It's the evil one. He is the root cause of making God look bad, and the devil tries to make himself look good. There's that passage in Genesis 3 that we refer to often. It has so much in it. Listen to how the devil tries to make God look bad and the devil look good. It says, now the serpent was more subtle, clever, tricky than any other wild creature the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? What's he trying to make that God look like right there? A killjoy, right? God had said, you can eat freely of everything. It's all yours. You're free. Just only one tree, but everything else, totally freedom. He says, God's holding out on you. Look at this. You can't eat of any of these trees? What a bad guy he must be. And the woman said to the serpent, correcting him, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, God is a liar. He's holding out on you. He's a bad guy. You're the good guy. I'm the good guy. I'm telling you the truth. And so what do we see here? The arch villain, who is a liar and a murderer, tries to make himself look like the good guy, and God, who is the God who gives freedom and life and everything, to look like the bad guy. And that's been the same ever since, right? If you look at the world that we're living in today, abortion, the killing of innocent children, is called good by the world and a woman's choice. But if you guard the sanctity of life, you're called evil and a bad guy. That's the opposite of the truth. If you look at same-sex marriage, that's wrong in God's eyes, but in the devil's and the world's eyes, that's good. And if you don't like it, you're the bad guy. And the devil says, all religions lead to God. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And there's one way. But if you confess that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you're the bad guy. You're a hater. You're a whatever-phobe. You know, all these names they throw at you. It's twisting things, turning them upside down. Have you fallen into the trap at all of the devil in thinking that God might not be always 100% good all the time? Are you a little shaky on it? You know, we know the goodness of God as Christians, amen? But here's a few reasons why we might at times be shaky when we face a really tough time in our life. We still have a sinful flesh. We still have sin in our members, which is unbelieving and untrusting of God. So we have to fight against that. We might have suffered under bad preachers. You know, if you have a preacher that just thunders law at you, but doesn't bring it at the right time, you know, you can make God out to be a real Scrooge through bad preaching. You might have suffered under that, some of you, in another church. Thirdly, we might have had an earthly dad who was not a nice guy. And so it's very hard to think of God as a good guy because you're projecting your own father onto God. It can be very difficult for some Christians to think of God as good because of their own home family. And then after all, the devil's after us to sow doubt, to twist the scriptures, to teach that God is not 100% good, that we might not taste his goodness. So usually when we suffer this way, it's at a time of pain, stress, trouble, we're really weak, and we start to go like, God, I know you're good. I'd never say you're not good, but are you going to be good to me? Are you good towards me and my sickness and my trouble and my loneliness here? Well, if you ever feel like that, listen again to these words. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who takes refuge in him. 100% good all the time. And when I recently had my kidney stone, remember that? December? You know, I was in a lot of pain, and I was up there in the middle of the night, and then cold for Florida, walking around my pool at night, and I'm like, God, are you with me in this? Are you on my side? Am I really okay with you? And God had to come and reave afresh and reestablish me in his goodness toward me. And he did so by just taking me through the scriptures. And I had time to do it because I had a kidney stone. Can I take you through the scriptures right now? Just run through them really quickly, really stem to stern of the Bible. Look at the goodness of God in all things. God took me first. He says, look, Greg, at the very first words of Genesis there. As we begin, it says, turning over here, whoop. Boy, it's a lot of pages in here to get to Genesis 1. There it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He says, Greg, where am I not good in this? It's 100% goodness. He created this beautiful world. It says, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And then the sun and the moon and the stars, he says, God saw it, and it's good. The trees, it's good. All the creatures, and I thought, and God took me through all the creatures of the sea when I go snorkeling and see all these tropical fish and the colors and the whales and the dolphins. It is good. And I looked at the creatures of the world when he created those, the deer and the fawns and the butterflies and then the mountains, etc. And God saw it all and said, it's good. And he says, look, Greg, I created you. Let us make man in our own image. Have you thought about that lately? You're set apart from all the other creatures. You're actually in the image of God himself. And then God says, the heavens belong to me, but the earth I give to the sons of men. It's all yours. 100% good, 100% good. I started to taste and think on that. But then the unbeliever is going to come along and say, but the world's full of sin and pain and brokenness and death and such things. Where did that come from? Not God. It came from man. We brought those things into the world. Sin entered into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, Romans 5 says. We brought the pain and the sickness into the world. It's not God's fault. It's man's fault. But even when Adam and Eve sinned, God says, look what I did with them. I could have just wiped them out and destroyed them and been righteous to do so. But I will put enmity between you and the woman, God said to the devil, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, God to a sinful, rebellious couple, Adam and Eve, gave them not just the judgment to leave the garden, but a promise and a hope of a savior and of a return to life. Is God 100% good in everything he does? The promise that they would one day conquer death, that there would be a Messiah born of the woman to set us free. God didn't have to do that, but he did it, 100% good. Then I turned over here to Genesis 4, and I was actually lying in my bed as God took me through these things. In Genesis 4, you see that Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, and when Cain got jealous of his brother and murdered his brother after God had warned him not to do so, God says Cain has to leave and he'll be cursed. And he says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. This is the first murderer, right? My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you've driven me this day from the ground, and from thy face I shall be hidden. and I'll be a fugitive and wanderer on the earth. Whoever finds me will slay me. What would you say if you were God? Well, you should have thought of that before you killed your brother. Get out of here, you scum. That's what you'd say, and I'd say. But what does God say? God actually shows mercy to this wicked, foul, festering, sick murderer of the evil one. And the Lord says, not so. If anyone slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone should come and kill him. God did good even to an evil person. Can you take refuge in that today? That God is going to be good to you, especially because you're even in Jesus Christ. You're out from under his wrath. Here, God's even being good to wicked people. Think about that. It reminds me of those words of Jesus. Love your enemies, do good, that you may be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Can you taste and see the Lord is good? Say amen. He's good all the time. Amen. Even to evil people, he's being good. How much more to the righteous? And then God took me to the days after that, when the world turned wicked. From bad to worse, we read in Genesis 6, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What would you do if you were God in that case? Righteous God. Boom, smash it. But God waited for 1,650 years while it did this, seeking them to repent. He bore with them. Would you wait that long? Michael, would you wait 1,650 years? How about you? Christy, would you wait 1,650? We'd wait maybe a few seconds. But God waited seeking their repentance. The Bible says, Peter says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is long-suffering with evil. You know, the wicked person wants to say, God is not good because he allows evil. Well, if he didn't allow evil, you wouldn't be here. You're evil. They should watch their own words. Jesus says, a man planted a fig tree in his garden, in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, lo, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree. I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he, the vine dresser, answered him, let it alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put on manure. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Jesus is showing that God and the Son, they work together, and they are not willing that any should perish. Give it another year. Give it another year. Give it another year. Maybe we can get some fruit out of this. It's only when there's no hope and the whole tree is basically dead, he says, root it up and get rid of it. And so that's a great blessing to you today, that God is patient, even with our faults, of course, and even our sins, unbelievably. For the saying is sure, says Paul, and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the chief, number one, foremost of the sinners. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience for an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. Say perfect patience. It's a saying worthy of full acceptance, says Paul. And is God patient with you? Are you like, oh my goodness, he's going to smash me. I had a bad thought. Well, you know what? God does chastise his people to make us like Christ, but he's patient. 100% good. You can rely on it. You can relax. You can be confident in the goodness of God to you. And Jesus said, I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now, we also see as we go through the Bible that God then did bring judgment on the ancient world by the flood for their evil. Was God righteous to do that? You know, the unbeliever, once again, is saying God is not good because he allows evil. But then, when he comes to get rid of the evil, they're angry with that too. Right? That's ridiculous. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. And so God acted to blot out man in order to return the world to peace, because all it was violence, murder, and destruction. If you're a good God, would you let that go on forever? God is righteous in his judgments. When he brings a person's deeds back upon his own head, that's good. And God judged the ancient world. In the flood, God judged Canaan. And if you think about Canaan in the days of Joshua, and he moved and drove out those peoples, the atheists are so upset about that, like Richard Dawkins that we read there. But you know what they were doing in that world? They were burning their children in sacrifices to false gods. And as I hear, when they would do that, they'd beat the drums even louder and louder not to hear the cries of their children. And if God is a good God, is he going to stand up there and go, well, whatever. He's going to get in there and eradicate the evil. Amazing he waited as long as he did, seeking their repentance. But when it comes time, he will judge. And that's righteous. And we rejoice in that as God's people. We want a clean world, a beautiful world. And God does it. He'll do so on the last day. And Isaiah says, destruction is decreed, overflowing with righteousness. God is good in his judgments, always just. Are my ways unjust, says the Lord? Isn't it your ways that are unjust? Mine are just, says the Lord. Then after the flood, we'll run through this quickly. God took a whole hour with me, but he says, look, after that, I gave a rainbow in the sky, my own bow I put up there, so beautiful, you see it today. And in the days after that, I chose a man called Abraham, through which I would bring the Savior who would bless all the nations of the world. And even after those days, the children of Abraham acted so wickedly and tried to murder their brother Joseph. And God told me, look, Greg, they meant it for evil, but God, I meant it for good, that I might bring it about, that many people should be kept alive as they are this day. God worked the evil of the brothers against Joseph and turned it around and made it good. He's always doing that, using wickedness, turning it into goodness. And then he's delivered them from vicious Pharaoh, who drowned their sons in the Nile River and sought to destroy them. But God came in, and it says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them up on his feathers, the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made Israel ride on the high places of the earth. Isn't that beautiful? Picture God. This is his goodness. To sinful, wicked people, he lifts them up and carries them all the days of old. He led them in to Canaan by Joshua. They were ruled by judges, and what did the people do? Sinned again and again, and God gave them into the hand of their enemies. They cried for a savior, a judge. God would raise up a judge. He'd save them. Then they'd sin, and he'd save them again. Then they'd sin, and he'd save them again, and he'd sin, save them again. Finally, in Judges chapter 10, God said, I've saved you from these people, and these people, and these people, and these people, and these people. You keep sinning, I will deliver you no more. Judges 10. But what happens in the next chapter? God saves him again. He sends Jephthah. Then he sends Samson. God can't help. He loves to save. His number one heart and character is to save, not to destroy. Martin Luther says when God destroys, that's his foreign work. He doesn't want to do it. He'll do it. But his first chief heart always is to save. And he has compassion upon his people. Compassion on you. And what was the thanks he got? We want a king of our own. We don't want you as king anymore. God says, but I'm your king. No, we want our own king. Okay, I'll give you a king. That king failed. They suffered for it. And God said, all right, I'll give you a better king. David, a man after my own heart. They sinned and sinned and sinned still more so that they made the land of Canaan that they drove out look like righteous people next to their sins. And God says in Jeremiah, yet I persistently sent to you all my servants the prophets, saying, don't do this abominable thing that I hate. But they didn't listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, but burned incense to other gods. They sinned and provoked him again and again. Do you charge God with wrong in any of these things? Can you see how in every instance, 100% pure good? As God took me through this in the middle of the night, my heart was just getting relieved and refreshed and rewarded and blessed in the goodness of God. And then we read this in the Old Testament In Hosea, over here, God says, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, he says, the children of Israel shall dwell many days without a king or a prince. That happens, right? After they came back from Babylon. And afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and to David their king. And they shall come in fear to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days. And to his goodness in the latter days. And those days came in the days of Jesus Christ. God sent his Son, his only Son, Jesus Christ, into a sinful, evil world to redeem it and set us free. Perfect, pure, good Son of God. Acts 10, Peter says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth who with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who's going to bring any charge against Jesus Christ in his life? All he did was preach the truth, heal people to set them free. And he showed himself mighty against his foes. He made a whip of cords and drove them all out of the temple for making the church, the temple, into a house of profit and trade. God showed himself strong against his enemies, but to all who had repentance and felt burdened with their sins, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Do you guys need that today? Come to the Lord, for he's good. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Come to him and you will find mercy. And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. To the adulterous woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. And even on the cross, Jesus cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And God shows his love for us in that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we're justified now by his blood. We've come out of his wrath into his favor. We're under a beautiful covering, a shield called his love in Jesus. And God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who does not believe is condemned because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God, but he who believes in him is not condemned. Do you feel the love and the goodness of God? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I know you have. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus says, God alone is good. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So don't believe the devil's lies. He's always twisting and turning things upside down, making himself look good and God look bad. Don't believe a word of it. God is good. And you being in him have his goodness in you. And we know in everything God is working together for good with you, with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So we'll conclude with this one. God, rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved you, even when we were dead through our trespasses, God made you alive together with Christ, raised us up with him, by grace you've been saved, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places. Come on up here. Sit with me, God says, on my own throne in Jesus Christ, so that, with the purpose that, with the result that, in the coming ages, I might show to you the immeasurable riches of my grace in kindness towards you in Christ Jesus our Lord. So taste and see that the Lord is good, and happy is the man who takes refuge in him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Is God Truly Good? And I encourage you to hear more of Pastor Greg's messages at Christ Lutheran Church, capecanaveral.org.